Good to be back here. And we pray for all of you and your pastor and this church. And like I said, Lord's been real good. By the grace of God, we're still at it. A year later, you know, you don't know what you're going to face next year, but just whatever you're going through, don't quit, amen. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus Christ. And if you would turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 2. I don't know about you, I met some fools in my life. And even at times I'm sad to say this, I have played the fool. And no one here really wants to be known as a fool. And we all need wisdom. Because none of us are born wise, we are born unwise. And we need wisdom as Christians to make the right decisions in our life. And a wise man will acknowledge that he needs more wisdom. But how does a man become wise? Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. We'll be looking about wisdom this morning. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, some people think that you get wisdom from getting a college education. There's nothing wrong with getting a college education, getting a degree and all that. But many people confuse knowledge with wisdom. And in order for me to even teach about what wisdom is, we need to get a hold of what wisdom is. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, if you would look there in verse 6, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 6, it says to understand a proverb. It's the purpose of the book of Proverbs. It goes through there, verses 2 through 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying. So we know, according to the word of God, a proverb is hidden wisdom. It's a dark saying. And Webster's dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern, it says right and truth, to judge or act accordingly, it's sound judgment. That's what wisdom is. It's common sense, which seems to be lacking somewhere in our government, amen, but sensible, prudent, and aware. See, knowledge can be memorized, but wisdom must think things through. And wisdom is something that helps us to use knowledge rightly. And wisdom is the ability to see things the way God sees things. If you would turn your Bible to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, James chapter 1. And you get this wisdom, like I just read to you out of Proverbs 2, for the Lord giveth wisdom. And how do you get this wisdom? Well, thank God the Lord shows us from his word how we can get this wisdom. He doesn't leave us in darkness. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So praise the Lord. We can ask the Lord for wisdom, and he'll give it to us liberally. That means abundantly, not holding back, and wisdom is centered in God. And the wisdom of this world is nothing compared to the wisdom of God. You may know this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now, wisdom may not seem like a big deal as far as to the world. They don't care about it at all. But us as Christians, we need wisdom. We need to get it. I like the old-time preacher. He's an old-time evangelist named Vance Habner. He said, if you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. And we got to seek wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5, and forget it not. God will give us wisdom if we ask for it. If you would turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 11, and then we'll pray. Proverbs chapter 11. I'm going to teach you this morning, Lord willing, if you would allow me the liberty to do so, and teaching you about the characteristics of a wise person, the characteristics of a wise person. And we're going down a checklist of what the Word of God says, and we're going to be sticking in the book of Proverbs and seeing if you have these characteristics. You may say, well, I have some wisdom. Wisdom is not knowledge, and wisdom is not experience. Okay? Wisdom is from the Word of God, and we need wisdom. How many of you need wisdom this morning? Okay, good. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, it's good to be here. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for seeing familiar faces, Lord, knowing that they haven't quit. God, give us the grace to get through these last days. Help us be found faithful when you come. Lord, we look forward to the day we can see you face to face. Lord, we look forward to the day of leaving this problem-filled world, God, and going to a problem-free life. And Lord, just walking on streets of gold. We pray, God, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, give us wisdom this hour. Give us discernment, Lord, and help me to teach and have liberty, God, and be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 11, we'll look at verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The first thing I see, the marks of a wise person is, number one, they're humble. They're humble. They're humble and they're teachable. Knowledge is proud that he has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that he knows no more. And those of us who claim to be wise will never be. And he that thinks himself the wisest is usually generally the greatest fool. You know the scripture, you memorized it before, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But we stop there in verse 6. We don't go to verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's going to take humility to get some wisdom. And a humble man can be taught, for wisdom lies in the heart of the learner, and rebellion and foolishness abounds in the heart of the stubborn. I want to ask you this morning, are you teachable? Do you listen to your pastor when he preaches to you and teaches you? I know it's easy to become used to someone's voice over and over and over, but don't take your pastor for granted. You know, Pastor Hoffman, from the little bit I do know of him through the years of coming through here, is a very good man. And you need to thank God for a pastor. He's not a sluggard. He's not a slothful man. He's a hardworking man. He loves the Lord. Amen? And saying all that is that you can get to the point where you're like, oh, that's just old Brother Hoffman. He's just saying whatever he's saying. If you listen to him, he's got a lot to say. He don't speak much. When I get around, he doesn't talk much. And when you're around people like that, you get kind of nervous sometimes. Amen? I'm from the East Coast. We're loud, kind of obnoxious. I'm sorry. Don't hold it against me. Amen? For being from Philadelphia. But, you know, when you get around somebody like that, when they have something to say, it's very smart. It's very wise. And don't take it for granted what you learn from this pulpit and what you hear from this pulpit. You're going to hear some words of wisdom and from that pulpit. And praise the Lord for getting a man who is wise. Amen? But in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. See, a wise man knows that he never knows enough. And wisdom is very rare today. Now, I'm 37 years old. I don't claim to be very old, but I'm not very young either. I'm kind of a good age, right? But I'll tell you that today, wisdom is rare today among teenagers and among people in their 20s and early 30s. It's just because it requires an attitude of humility. I wonder this morning, do you have any humility in you? A wise person will listen to wise counsel because he wants to obtain more wisdom. He doesn't want to learn things the hard way. He doesn't have a know-it-all attitude. See, I'll be honest with you. If I could learn from your mistakes, I'd rather do that. Why? Because it's not painful for me. And I don't want to get to a point in my Christian life as a minister or as a Christian saying, hey, you know what? I know it all. You can't teach me anything. You know, I don't want to get like that, and I hope you don't either. And the very essence and nature of wisdom is to learn and to change. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says that a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. I mean, he's going to gather unto wise counsel. He's going to get around people that have some wisdom. He's willing to listen. You know, you talk to your kids sometimes. I don't know about you, how many of your parents here, but you talk to your kids and you say, are you listening to me? Are you paying attention to what I'm saying? I'm trying to teach you something that's going to help you down the road later on in life. And yet, you can see the same adult in his 40s and 50s and 60s having a stubborn heart just like a three-year-old telling you no. Amen? Hey, you know what? A man who doesn't want to learn and listen is a fool. He doesn't know anything. He'll learn from others. He'll listen to older people. A wise man will take heed to his ways. You know, I get around people that have raised kids. And I say, well, how did your kids turn out right? You know, what did you do? What can you teach me as a young man? Look, I got three kids. I'm not raising teenagers. No offense. Thank God. Amen. But I just say this. I hope the Lord comes back before that teenage years from what I hear. Pray for me. Amen. But I, as a young parent, want to learn from older people. I got to learn, you know, how do you be a good husband? So I ask older men that have been married. It's amazing. Anybody married more than 20 years anymore is a complete miracle to me in today's society. But when someone's married for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, that's phenomenal. So I don't want to get to a point as a young man where I say, look, I know it all. I don't need to be instructed anymore. No, I need to learn how to be a better father, a better husband, a better Christian. How about you? We need to be willing to listen. Hear counsel, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou may be wise in thy latter end. Later on in life, I want to be wise. I don't want to be an old fool. I want to be an old, wiser gentleman. A wise man will take heed to his ways. Out of Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. You know what that means? That means like this. You know, bowing it. It means humility. I'm listening. What do you got to say? Not this. Not this. Not this. Not, you know, whatever. It's listening. I'm willing to listen. Hear thou, my son, to be wise. Proverbs 23:19 says, hear thou, my son, to be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Are you listening? Are you listening to what you're hearing from this pulpit and the things you're being taught and preached? Are you listening to the Lord? He says to you, hear thou, my son. Are you a child of God? He's saying, listen up. This is the words of knowledge and wisdom that come from the Lord's mouth. It's a great book. This book is really a wonderful book, brethren. But you got to be willing to listen. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 29. So it requires humility. It requires humility. Proverbs chapter 29. I'll get into that later on about humility some more. But Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. So it's about wisdom. The marks of a wise person is that he's humble and teachable. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. You know what a wise person will do to keep their mouth shut? You ever heard the old saying that loose lips sink ships? I don't know about you. Did you ever open your mouth and insert foot? I mean, have you ever done that before? As soon as you said it, you already knew I shouldn't have said it. I mean, and it might have been true, and it might have been right, but it was just, you know, not at the right time. You know, you open your mouth, you got Nike or Reebok across the bottom lip. Because you're like, oh, God. And it's too late. It's already going out. It's like shooting an arrow. It's already gone. You can't stop in midair. And that's how our words are. You know, a wise person will remain silent when they're provoked. He knows how to keep his mouth shut. He knows when to keep his mouth shut. And he can keep a secret. You can trust him with the private details of your life. Now, I don't have Facebook. Don't invite me to your Facebook page if you got it. I'm not going to get up here and rant and rave about Facebook. You're not right with God if you had none of that. Okay, so relax. I mean, we have liberty in Christ, okay? Praise the Lord for that. But I'll say this. I don't need to know what toothpaste you use, what's been helping you with your bad breath, halitosis you got. I don't need to know what deodorant you use and how it's kept your stench away. And people put that on their Facebook accounts. Like, come on, grow up. You know, I don't need to know. But I'm just saying this. I don't want friends like that, okay, that tell everybody about the private details of their life, because they're going to tell everybody about the private details of my life. I want some wise friends that if I talk to them, they're not going to run their mouth about me. A wise person thinks before he speaks. He doesn't give advice until he knows the whole story. You know, there's always three sides to a story, three sides. His, hers, and the truth. I remember when as a young guy starting a church and planting a church, I was a missionary to Africa. I graduated with Brother Bardwell, you know him. And I was down there at a Bible school when I went there, and I thought, man, when I got out, I knew it all. And then now that I've been out of school for a long time, I realize I don't know as much as I thought I knew. And when I got down there, I planted a church in South Africa, and I was trying to counsel somebody. And a woman came up to me and with my wife there and was telling me these things. So I said, man, she's married to a deadbeat husband. I'm thinking to myself, he's a terrible man. And then I heard then I heard his side. I thought, man, he's married to Jezebel, man. She probably rides around with a broom in the house. You know, something's not right about this woman, right? But then when I got both together, it was a different tune. Amen. A different story. So I've learned through the years, really not, and it's hard. As a preacher, you want to give advice. You want to see people do right. You know, you have a heart for the people. But as the years go on, I've learned to not give advice because 90% of the advice you give is never taken anyway. And when you give advice, people usually get angry. And I asked my pastor, I said, so what do you do about advice? He says, well, he said, number one, never give it unless asked. Because if they get mad and you gave it, it's your fault. He says, but if they ask for it and they get mad, it's their fault. So I've learned that not to be so. So people come up to me as an evangelist and say, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, marrying this person or buying this house. And what do you think? I say, well, you know what? The evangelist says this. Go to your pastor. Thank God I'm an evangelist, because I don't want to be blamed for a decision you make that doesn't work out right. But I'll say this, though. Be very careful not to give advice until you know the whole story. A fool uttereth all his mind. Well, I think you should do this, and I think you should do that. I think, okay. Remain silent, and you'll never regret it. Speak often, and you will. Do you stir up trouble with your mouth? You know, a wise man doesn't like to provoke people to anger with his tongue. You can be very careful. A wise man will not find himself arguing a lot. You know, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. You know, I'm in a ministry now. You know what? I don't want to argue. If you got some weird conviction, please keep it to yourself. You know, there are people out there that do not celebrate birthdays because it's pagan. And people lose their head. People die in the Bible. You know what? I celebrate birthdays. I like birthdays. I like getting gifts, okay? And you know what? But people want to argue. Well, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And what do you think about sunglasses? I think sunglasses are carnal. Or what do you, I mean, really, no joke. It's like, you know what? That is stupid. I'm sorry. That is really foolish. And I'm not going to argue. And I have found, I'll defend some things like the King James Bible. I'll stand up and argue about this, amen? I'll stand up and argue about, you know, pre-tribulation, rapture, and dispensation. There's some things I'll debate about, but there's some things I'm not going to waste my time about, you know? And I'll tell you. See, you better thank God. You say, what's here in Lowell? A lot less trouble, amen? Just stay in Lowell. Because when you're out on the road and you're traveling from church to church, you hear this weird thing and that, you know, this guy says this, watch. And gets up and says, TVs are wrong, TVs are wicked, TVs are ungodly. Well, okay. And then he sells DVDs in the back of the church. But they're Christian. Now, hold on. Just bear with me, right? So then when you ask him, where do you watch that DVD at? He watches it on his computer, but not his TV because he doesn't have it. See, it's stupid. But I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just too blunt this morning. But, you know, just don't wind up arguing. You know what I mean? Just don't get... It's just such heated debates, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever. You know, what was Abraham's bosom called before Abraham died? So you want to get into an argument about that? You know what I mean? It's like, I think it was called paradise. I can go with scripture with that. But you know, you see, but people like to argue. And it's like, why are you going to spend time arguing about things that are just of no importance? A wise man will bite his tongue to the proper time he should speak. And a wise man will not give a piece of his mind when he's not asked. Fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. We need wisdom. There's a lot of things here. It's a wonderful book. I do devotions by the grace of God unless something happens every day with my kids. And every day I read a proverb or two or three, depending on the context there. And I'm trying to teach them a wisdom. You know what I mean? Why? They need it. You know, and that's what Solomon was doing, is talking to his son and teaching him some things about wisdom. And I don't know about you, like I said before, I need wisdom. And I've been enjoying going through this book of Proverbs with my kids. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so was a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to reprove and rebuke people at times. A lot of wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. So you probably understand where I'm going at with this next point. A wise man will reprove, and he'll take a reproof. You can tell what a real you can tell what a Christian's really like or a man's really like by how he handles correction. Now I know you men don't like correction. You know why? Because I'm a man. And you don't like it when another man gets up in your face and says, what you're doing is not right, you need to get right. You don't like that. First reaction, what? You know who you're talking to? You know, but you see? And it's not like that. See, in reality, what does it require? Like I said earlier, humility. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Look at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. Ever try to correct somebody who doesn't want to listen? and you feel like such a fool and an idiot for having even brought it up. You get to yourself, shame. It's like, I mean, they belittle you and get on you and yell at you and scream at you and justify what they're doing. Ever been there before? You know, that's sad. You know, a person who's wise will realize that he was wrong, and he'll thank you and he'll want to get it right. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like being reproved. I don't like being rebuked. And I don't like a finger in my face. I want to bite it when you put it in my face. Amen. But you know what? I need it. And my wife will tell you this, and she knows me for now. I mean, we've been married 12 years this December. Right? No, I'm joking, right? But anyway, you know what? I can tell you this, that with me, when I get reproved and rebuked, I don't like it. But I will at least pray about it for 3 days and weigh it out and search the scriptures to find out. And if you're right, I will call you. I will tell you. I will email you. But if you're not, and there's been some times where I've been rebuked and it wasn't necessary and it was misunderstood on their end, but you know what it did? It still made me realize how full of pride I am. Because immediately I went, and the Lord goes, whoa, whoa, calm down. What are you getting upset about? Oh, did you get your feelings hurt? Oh, pride? Yeah, Lord. Okay, then you need to humble yourself. But that person's not saying it's true. What they're saying is not true. But you're still full of pride, and that ain't right. It's hard to humble yourself when someone tells you to get right, isn't it? A wise man take a rebuke from those who are in authority over him. Look at Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A wise man can take a reproof. But you know what? You can beat and beat and beat and beat a fool 100 stripes. He's still a fool. Yeah, any of you that have more than one child know what I'm talking about? You love your kids, okay? And I'm not saying, I know your kids are angels, right? They're angels, right? Or should I say fallen angels, by the way, amen? Like Chucky, you know? But anyway, I say this. You got these little kids. You know what? You could take, if you got three or more kids, or you know what? One of them, you could look at and say, and they'll stop. Another one, you just look at, they start bawling their eyes out. The other one, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? And before you know it, you're a little conductor, like doing the maestro. Da, 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 right? You know what I'm talking about? Got to be careful what I say on this stuff, right? And you know what? They ain't going to listen. I don't care. I don't care. The Lord always gives you one of those, amen? But you know what? It's like a fool. A fool will not listen because he's hard-headed. You can even beat him, and he won't even get it right. Proverbs 15, look at verse 12. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12. Notice what it says in Proverbs 15, 12. Proverbs 15, 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. You know what a scorner won't do? He won't go to somebody who's wiser than him and ask him for advice. He'll go to someone who's like-minded. Why? Birds of a feather flock together. And he won't. You know what he'll do? If you correct someone who's a scorner, next time they see you, you know what they'll do? Right? They'll look down at their, you know, shoes that have no strings to tie them. They're looking for ways to not look at you and see you because they're so upset. That's a shame. If a man's a scorner and a fool, he'll avoid a wise man that reproves him. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. A wise man fears the consequences of sin. He doesn't want to mess around with sin. He departs from evil. He gets away from it. These people running around with no fear, t-shirts and no fear on the back of their trucks and all that, that's foolish. And what a fool does, he doesn't fear God, he doesn't fear the consequences of sin. He wants to live the way he wants to live. So a wise man, what he'll do is he'll fear the Lord and he'll depart from evil. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you don't fear God, you can't even have the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So a wise person will not drink because he loves God and fears God and will not live in sin and he'll want to do right and will not mess with drugs and will not mess with liquor and will not mess with cigarettes and will not mess with pornography. Why? Because he fears God. You got people out there boasting about it. Why? Fools make a mock of sin. He fears the consequences of sin. He'll not watch the wrong movies. He'll not look at the wrong books. He'll depart from evil friends who live in sin and curse and lie and tell dirty jokes and are not saved. Why? Because he fears God. When I was in Bible school, you know what I did? I surrounded myself around people that were more spiritual than I was. Yes, there were some carnal guys at Bible school. There really were. And they're not serving God today. But I got around people who want to serve God and feared God and loved God. Why? Because I know that their negative influence on me can have negative repercussions down the road later on in life. Hey, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed, in Proverbs 13, verse 20. You can tell what a person's like by the company they keep. Well, I'm just going to hang out with this person. They're not so bad. They're pretty cool and all that. You know, they do this and that. No, they're going to bring you down. Before you know it, you're going to be doing things with them you never thought you'd be doing. You'll be laughing at things you never used to laugh at before. And you'll be dressing like them as well. A wise person will spend time with other Christians who read and pray and who love God and soul win. Wise men will fellowship with Christians. A wise man realizes that they must walk with wise men to be wise. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. We need wisdom this morning. A wise man is humble. He's teachable. He fears the Lord and departs from evil. He takes a reproof and knows how to reprove. And it takes a lot of wisdom to reprove people. It really, really does. Because you listen, there's times you know what I'm talking about where you know what someone's doing is wrong. But you better make sure that you're doing the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You better make sure that when you get in their face, that you are doing it in the spirit of love and not vengeance and meanness and arrogance. You better make sure that what you're saying is absolutely aligned with Scripture and not one of your personal pet peeves or differences of conviction. Amen? Because you may do more harm than good. See, the problem is a lot of brethren, and I call them King James Cowboys. They love to run around with their Bible and are ready to shoot everybody down. But that's not the way the Christian life is to be. We're to restore one another. We're to edify one another. We're to help one another. Because none of us have arrived. I don't know about you. Maybe you have. I have not attained. And I'm not perfect. And I still need the Lord. And I know that it's in my flesh, like Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. So we got to be very careful that when we need to confront someone, we do it with the right attitude and through much prayer. I don't know about you. I don't want to get all over somebody and really hurt them and cause them to never want to serve God again or never come back to church again. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, which means there's a time to reprove and there's a time to refrain from reproving. Just keep quiet. Hey, there's been times I saw something, I wanted to say something to somebody. I mean, I really did. And you know what? They were wrong. But you know what the Lord said? Shut your mouth, pray for them. And then you know what happened? A few weeks down the road, a few months down the road, they got it right. Because you know what I realized? I don't have to be God's hitman. I don't have to be God's, you know, corrector and to be the Holy Spirit or be his spiritual cop. I can actually pray and let the Lord convict. And when he does it, it's a lot more convicting than when I do it. And it's in a better spirit from him than from me. So be very careful, okay? Proverbs 24, verse 3. I was reading this morning to my kids. Through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding it is established. You know, it takes a lot of wisdom to build a house. I went over to your pastor's place, that log home. That's awesome. I have to admit, I would really like one of those, you know. I would not want to do what all he's doing, but I would like the finished product. And looking at that house, I don't even know if it's done. The last time I was there, it was a foundation and one log across. Then it was a bit of a thing put up and the roof and all that. I have no idea what it looks like, but I know that it takes a lot of wisdom to know how and a lot of strength to build one of those things. You with me? And it takes a lot of wisdom spiritually to build your house. You know, it takes wisdom in disciplining children. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. A wise man will discipline his children. A wise man doesn't request for his children to do right. He commands them to do right. I don't know about you. I am really tired. Now maybe I'm stepping on someone's toes this morning, but I'm just being honest. I'm doing it in love. I'm really tired of seeing grown men grovel at a 3-4-year-old's little feet and saying, will you please do this and will you please do that and please stop that. It really offends me. Listen, you ought not to be doing that with your kids. Okay? You ought to be able to go to a restaurant with your kids without worrying about them terrorizing the waitress with butter knives. You ought to be able to go to a restaurant where not having to worry about your kids crawling under tables and running around and screaming like wild Indians. Okay, it takes a lot of wisdom in raising children. And I didn't say, like I said, I'm not Mr. Father of the Year, perfect example and all that, okay? I got my shortcomings as well, and I'm trying to do right, but I can tell you one thing. It's really horrible to see the way some Christians are raising their kids to be little selfish, self-centered brats who have no respect for authority, who don't say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, no, thank you. It's really terrible. It's a disgrace to the lost world to see the way some Christians are raising their kids. Now, I grew up old school. My mom's an old Italian woman. My family's from Rome, Italy. My mother, didn't matter what part of the house I was in, it was always like the old AT&T commercial, reach out and touch someone, okay? She could reach out like Elastigirl and smack me, man. I mean, it was like, whew. I learned, you know, my mother would say, don't speak, don't backtalk me, don't sass me, don't be fresh, don't do that. That was it. And you know what? I didn't like it. And I think sometimes she's a bit rough, okay? I'll be honest with you. But I thank God for what she did teach me. And it was some good things, good principles. I just refused a long time ago to let my kids run my life and make my life a living hell and make it miserable. I want to enjoy my kids. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. He shall give the light unto thy soul. Do you know why you're about to pull your hair out? Do you know why you're about to scream at them and you're losing your temper, you're getting angry and all that? There's no wisdom involved in it. You know what it is? It's foolish for you not to correct them. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. He should give delight unto thy soul. The reason why they're not a delight to be around, and the reason why you can't wait for them to go to school, or you can't wait for them to go outside, is because you're not correcting them. If they're getting on your nerves, there's a reason why you're not correcting them. You with me? I know what I'm saying is old-fashioned. It just really is anymore, because we've taken in all this Christian psychiatry and psychology stuff that we shouldn't spank, we should give them a timeout, we should deal with them on their little psyche level. Forget all that, okay? They're kids. They have a will. They're stubborn. Stubbornness and rebellion lies in the heart of a child, okay? But the rod of reproof will drive it far from him. A fool is someone who doesn't discipline their children. They say, well, he's going through a stage. Yeah, he's on the stage, and you're the audience, you're the spectator, okay? He's performing. Well, he doesn't know what he's doing. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Little kids lie. I hate to tell you that. They really do. I'll give you an example. You ever have a newborn? Ever put it down in the crib? It's screaming and crying. You don't know what's wrong with it when you're a first-time parent. You pick it up, it stops. It's already figured you out. So here it goes, right? Like a little squeaky toy. But you know what? A wise man will not make excuses for his child's disobedience. A wise man disciplines his children so they won't be ashamed later on in life. I don't know about you, seeing my kid behind prison bars would really upset me. You know what you got? Now, there's exceptions, okay? I'm fully aware. Maybe you know of one exception. But overall, do you know why a lot of those people are in prison? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to be my boss. No respect for authority. And where do they learn that from? The home. Thank you, sister. That's the exact truth. They need to have a good fear of dad. I didn't say terror, but a good fear. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'm afraid. See, I didn't have a dad. I didn't grow up in a little house in the prairie, by the way. I didn't have no brothers, no sisters. Grew up on welfare. You know, the yellow cheese that glows in the dark. And the white powder that you can use to plaster walls, that's the environment I grew up in, okay? I don't know who my dad is. Left my mom when she was 6 months pregnant. I don't even know who he is to this day. Don't even know what he looks like. I'm telling you that right now, though. I mean, I thank God because my mom disciplined me a lot. But you know what? I did get in trouble with the law, and I did do what I want. But it was my fault, not hers. Like I said, there's exceptions to the rule. You can discipline a kid and love a kid and do the best you can, and they can still turn out wrong. Okay, I'm fully aware of that. Okay? But I don't know about you. I want my kids to do right. And I don't want them to be ashamed later on in life. And you know what a wise person does? He provides for his family. And that takes wisdom. You know what a wise person does? He has to work hard. A wise person works hard and knows how to finance his money. We got so many people now in debt. Now look, you can lose your job. Like I said, I understand. But an exception doesn't overthrow the rule. There's a lot of people in debt. Why? They got not one credit card, but two credit card, three credit card, four credit card, five credit card. They need not one card. They need two cards. And some of them even need three now. And what is this? All debt. You know what my mother said? My mother grew up. I didn't say this was all right, okay? But it keeps me out of serious debt. My mother used to say, don't charge anything and don't write a check. Pay everything cash. Now, I didn't say if you use checks, just relax, okay? Or if you use a credit card. I'm just saying, thank God I don't have thousands and thousands of dollars in debt with credit cards and debt collectors calling me and threatening to take things away from me. And I give God the glory because, listen, he can knock me flat on my back and I could never preach. I understand all that. I'd be on disability, which I understand all that. Like I said, there's exceptions to the rule. But overall, it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to spend your money. Look at Proverbs 21. Providing for your family takes a lot of wisdom. Proverbs 21, look at verse 20. There is treasure to be desired in oil in the dwelling of the wise. But notice this. But a foolish man spendeth it up. A wise man learns to get by on less. Hey, there's times where rice and beans are very good. And you know what? That's okay. Hey, yeah, of course, I would like to sit at Longhorn Steakhouse. And at times I have with the preacher and his family. Hey, praise the Lord. But there's times where I just have rice and put some ketchup in it and I'm happy with that. Now, I'm not complaining to you. I'm not looking for a handout. I'm not whining to you. God's taking good care of me, okay? So don't evil surmise and insinuate that I'm looking. I'm not doing that at all. All I'm saying is that you can learn to get by on less. What if the economy goes bad? What should we do? You don't need a cell phone. Oh! Okay, well, you know what? I told my wife, the economy gets that bad and I'm losing. I already lost 50% of my support. I already lost it. Now, I'm not complaining to you. Just bear with me, okay? What do we do? Well, then I guess we'll have to get rid of two phones. And go to one. And if we can't do that, then we have no cell phones. So how did they make it years ago? You all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? We made it. It's okay. I mean, when I was growing up, it was beepers. They didn't have no cell phones. And they had the car phones, and they were about this big, and they looked like the radios from Vietnam. Okay. Well, what if we can't afford internet? Well, then we get rid of it. So I'm saying, we got to learn to make ends meet. A wise person learns how to do those things. A wise man stays out of debt so he doesn't get in debt. A wise man will not spend everything as fast as he makes it because he learns to get by on less. Amen. There's a lot of things on wisdom. I wasn't able to get through all of it. But I really hope and pray that we have a good day today in the Lord. Amen. And I hope and pray you got a blessing. Brother? Yeah, sure. God, thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you for the good spirit. God, give us wisdom, Lord, as husbands and fathers and as a Christian to be a good testimony and to live for you and guide our family and lead our family, God. Would you please be in the services today, God? I want to be a help to this church, and I pray that they would allow me to be. And I pray, God, that you save anybody who may be lost today who comes to church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.